The last commendation from the frontier from my friend Pete. Said, you beautiful thing, you. I don't know if he's seeing that well these days. But anyway, it's a wonderful thing to be here and a great privilege to preach to Rory and the elders. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been amazing being here at this call conference. I've learnt wonderful things, and I know obviously a number of you come to your Sunday morning meeting and you haven't been at the other call meetings. If I make any references to something which came out, just forgive me. It's been one of those sort of intense times, call it a weekend or a day extra than a weekend, and just the ministry's been outstanding. If you get an opportunity to listen to some of the messages online, they will definitely help you and change your life. And I'm hoping that there can be something of a flow from that, but also a standalone message just for the saints of 3CR gathering on a Sunday morning who want to find out what God's Word says to them. And that's going to be the focus of my ministry. That is the focus of my ministry. And I'm hoping that something of God's Word will get into you. I do want to say that, you know, Rory and I have been friends now for, I don't know, 25 years or whatever. They'll be married 25 years in May next year, is it? And we've prayed together, we've traveled together, and just this year we were traveling together, and we were in Knysna, and he was coming down to Cape Town to do some ministry, and he asked me if I was going to a particular meeting on the Thursday night. I said, Rob, please, just forgive me, I won't come across because we've got a meeting, and I'm unfortunately having to ask someone to leave our church to excommunicate someone. Rory cancelled what he was doing, came across to be with us at our meeting. That's the kind of man he is. Appreciate that, eh? So we've stood together in the difficult times in ministry and in the fun times as well. We've sat and had meals in airports, and we've traveled and we've prayed. And thank you for all you've done coming to help us at Church on Main. Eh? This year we traveled with Steve and Kath. Together we went to France, and they joined us on a trip there. It was wonderful to have the Dolenberg family with us. Your beautiful children. I don't know if they're still in the meeting, but we appreciated having them with us. Are Nick and Claire here? Ebo. There's an eldership couple from our church, came up for the call. One of the other eldership couples came, but they flew back to do the morning meetings. Just stand, Nick and Claire. Nice to have you with us. Why I got them to stand is not to show you that they traveled here, but we planted a church from a church that Rory led, and one of the things which helped catalyze growth in our moment of need in Cape Town was Rory phoned me one day. He said, look, I want to approach Nick and Claire and send them to come and be on your team in Cape Town and help you, and we're going to salary them for a year to help you guys breakthrough in Cape Town. Not many churches will send the staff member and pay for them for a year to help another church in another part of the country to break through. Thanks for that. Eh? They've been an amazing blessing. Pure-hearted, servant-hearted. I think Nick has gone and changed tires in my car. He's changed windows in my house. He's preached. He's led worship. They've led children's ministry. They've done everything. Been an amazing blessing. So if you are new to this church, that's the kind of church you're a part of. You're a church that goes and sows and gives generously. Some of you who are new, you'll get into that flow. You'll find yourself giving, going, sowing, hosting people like you've done this weekend. I want to encourage you. Those are beautiful things of the gospel of Jesus Christ brought to earth, where people become Christ to the world, eh? And so thank you for that and continue with it. We're going to go to, let's start in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 this morning. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. I love Jesus and I love his word. I love to preach about Jesus. I love to preach about the word. And I want to start in Mark 6, verse 3 this morning. You might wonder why we've gone to this verse, but I'll explain. It says, "Is not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us?" Don't worry about the rest of the verse. The point is, Jesus actually had an earthly family that he was part of. His mother's name was Mary, you know that. And he had some brothers. We've got there James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon. Well, interestingly enough, two of them become quite famous disciples of their brother. And two of them end up writing letters, which are included in the Bible. And so we're going to go to the letter written by Judas, by Jude. The name gets translated differently in different places. And if you turn to the book of Jude, the last book in your Bible is the book of Revelation. The one before that is a small one-chapter book, the book of Jude. And we're going to see this letter that the half-brother of Jesus wrote. They have the same mother, different fathers. However, he ends up with the same father. I know you guys know a bit about coming to the Father and our journeys towards the Father. But here we have Jude, starts off with a different earthly father, but he ends up with the same heavenly father. Obviously, the relationship is different, but because Jesus is God, he's part of the triune Godhead. But this Jude, let's just see what he says in his letter. We won't be able to go through all of it, but we'll go through it slowly. And look at what some of these phrases mean and what some of the words mean to us as we look at it. I don't know if you are familiar with the idea of expository preaching. The idea is that we look at the text like a Bible study. And we just see what each phrase means to us and how we should take it as Christians so that it can help us. And I like it that the people of God come to the Word. We're a faith that has a written record. Obviously, we have testimonies, and we testify to what God has done in our own lives, but all of that always points back to a written record. And I'm so thankful that we have a written record, because otherwise, what would we rely on? But we've got this written record, which is an amazing thing. So here we have Jude. Let's read the first four verses together. It says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." That's a nice word, kept. "May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was eager, very eager, to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." It's an amazing portion of Scripture. Lord, as we come to your Word today, we know it's your Word that feeds us. You said it's like manna that comes down, it's bread, it sustains us. And you, Lord Jesus, are also the bread of life. And we ask for that this morning, Lord. We ask that you would feed us, equip us, give us nutrients for our Christian walk. And we ask it in your mighty name. Amen. So God's word is like nutrition for us. It's food for us. And you need daily bread. Eh? You need to read your Bibles daily if possible. You need to just say, "Lord, feed me," as you read it. And hopefully this morning will be a little bit of a feeding time. So we have Jude. Jesus had an earthly family, and he has one of the brothers. Now, I'm guilty of this, just as some of you are. We like to be connected to people who have status or position or fame or who've done something, or even people who have wealth, means, substance. And we like to draw connections between ourselves and those people. Sometimes it's name dropping. Oh, I know that guy, or I know this person, or whatever. Well, it's so interesting when Jude starts his letter, he doesn't say, Jude, half-brother of Jesus. That's not his position that he takes. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. He's his half-brother. Same mom. He doesn't say, you know, when we were at the family table together, Jesus used to tell us this and that, and we learned a couple of things from him, and now let me tell you something. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. Amazing position of humility, eh? In fact, he goes on to say, and brother of James. It's like his brother James is the more famous one. He's an apostle. Book of Galatians makes that clear, chapter 2. And he's prepared to be identified as kind of the lesser known brother. This Jude. Amazing guy. That word for servant there, doulos in the Greek, there are two different words for servant. The one is a servant who voluntarily serves. The other means a servant who's a paid servant. It's not hired for an occasion. You've got the one servant who's hired for an occasion, but you've got another servant who's a bond servant. He's beholding to the other. He's like owned by the master. That's the word he uses here of his half-brother. He says, I'm owned by him. He's my Lord. He's my master. That's what he's saying. Jude, who am I? Who's writing this letter? I'm a bond servant of Jesus Christ. That's what he is. He owns me. He owns my life. I'll serve him. That's how he comes out as he sets out. You know, letter writing, we got taught at school. I don't know if they do that anymore because everything's email and WhatsApp. And I don't know if you still do formal letters at school. But we got taught where to put certain things. Right-hand side of the page, and to whom it may concern, and whatever. They had a formality to their writing 2,000 years ago, and he sets out in their normal way all the letters. You introduce yourself first, and so he's introducing himself. Jude, a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ, someone who will serve him, and a brother of James. And then he identifies those who he's writing to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Actually, the order is slightly different. It goes to those who are beloved in God the Father, kept, and called for Jesus Christ. It's just a slightly different order, which does make a little bit of a difference in terms of our understanding of it. Because the flow is this, that because we're beloved, He calls us. And because we're beloved, not only calls us, but He keeps us. He keeps us, this Father. And so, I'd love to spend the time looking at this little triad of security. We are a very secure people. We should be, if we understand the Word. Our problem is that many of us don't understand the Word, and our response to God, very real, I'm not denying the reality of it, can be in a moment of emotional turmoil or need or godly sorrow impressed upon us because of our sinfulness, and we respond and we have a real experience of the Lord, but then it's not informed by a good solid base of the Word. So we later question that moment. We question, does He love us? We question because things happen in our life, relational issues transpire, job issues, life just goes. We carry some sickness in body in a season, or a relative does, and then we question God because our faith is not based on what is written. It's now our experience of life. Well, I want to say your experience of life needs to be informed by the Word and your faith. So Jude, who's a servant, he writes to those who are, okay, beloved. That's who we are. We're beloved. There are many people who struggle with the fact that God loves them. They can't believe it. Until God loves you. People who are looking for love go and do crazy things. People who are looking for love go and do stupid things. We get ourselves in all sorts of sin because we're craving love. We're craving acceptance. We're craving Let me tell you, God loves you. You are beloved. That's why he called you. Now that word called there, I know we're at the call. That word called is, he's referring, I believe, to that initial calling or that summoning of people to salvation. That's something God does. He calls people. There's a verse in John chapter 6, I think it's verse 44, which says, no one can come to the Father unless, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. Let me just find it. I do have it here in my notes. No one can come to the Father unless, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father calls them. John 6, verse 44. So there's a